ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजम् योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः. See, the whole of second chapter covers three big topics. Main topic is Atmanaha Swarupam or Atma Swarupa Lakshanam. I mean, nature of the reality as the self. Nature of the self is unfolded. Thereafter, the importance of performing karma is discussed. In that context, mainly the second topic discussed is karma yoga. The third topic discussed in the third second chapter is lakshanam of a jnani. Who is a jnani is discussed. And there we have seen so many verses about a jnani. And of all the verses talking about a jnani, one thing was made very clear. Who is a jnani? Jnani is the one who is a sthita prajna. Sthita prajna means not the prajna, the doubtful prajna, but a sthita prajna. One who is a firm, unshakable, doubt-free, clear, ascertained vision of the reality. Oneness of reality, and who has the vision of the self, he is sthita prajna. He is sthita dhihi. Sthita prajna, sthita dhihi, he is munihi, and then tasya prajna pratishthita, he is firm, not just to be firm, whose knowledge, and the main thing is, the jnani, the one who knows the self, is the one who knows the self of all the beings. Self for him, self is one and the same only reality. Thereby one who knows the whole jagat being the manifestation of that only reality. And such a person, one who has resolved his the problem, one has resolved his ahankara. Ahankara, the erroneous notion about the self. Resolving one's ahankara means, it's not giving up ahankara. Resolving one's ahankara means resolving one's erroneous notion one has about oneself. So resolving the wrong notion one has about the self. Oneself means what about the self implies one having identity with the pure consciousness as the self, not as just the material products, mind, body and senses. And such a person is the one who is free from limitations. Who is the one who is free from limitations? One who knows the self, thereby one who knows the truth of the whole jagat, the way who knows the whole jagat being the manifestation of the only reality, the way one who has resolved his notion, wrong notion about the self, being just the body, mind, sense complex. We one who knows, by knowing reality, self being pure consciousness, thereby one who is free from all the problems caused by his wrong identity, wrong notion. So one has resolved his problem of smallness being centered on I. And such a person is the one. Once you have resolved the problem of smallness being centered on I, that implies what? By knowing the self means, the one who knows the self knows the swarupam of the self. Thereby, one who is the knower of the self alone is the one who revels in limitlessness, revels in fullness or happiness. The person who revels in fullness or happiness is unshaken person, undisturbed person. And that for him, definitely, there cannot be any needs, there cannot be inadequacy, there cannot be needs, there cannot be also desires. Then such a person can remain the same. How can remain the same? Because he is not dependent on anything external, situations or people or behavior or whatever is, for his being full. Because the very swarupam is fullness. Once he is not dependent on anything external for his happiness, and he is not affected by whatever is outside. The person who revels in fullness, you know, the external, happy, desirable, pleasant situations cannot make the person of fullness, cannot add to his fullness, increase his fullness, or the external, undesirable, unpleasant situation cannot reduce his fullness. Why? Because he is always uddhikna manaha, anuddhikna manaha, because it's for him fullness is the very swarupam. He is a jnani. We saw that, no? Last class. And later on, the last verse was actually, what is the tree which really, the jnani is free from the hold of desires. Completely has dissolved all his desires. And the next two verses, having discussed about the jnani, the following verses which we are going to see today, talk about how that something called desire arises at all. Why there is a desire? How desire comes? Of course, the basic, fundamental, the cause for the desire is ignorance. Self-ignorance is naturally there, uncreated. Ignorance being naturally there, and then it's called ajnanam being there, and then erroneous self-perception is naturally there, which is adhyasaha. Mistaking the non-self for the self is erroneous self-perception, which is naturally there, caused by ajnanam. So this erroneous self-perception is adhyasaha, really results in what? Adhyaropaha, superimposition of the limitations of the non-self upon the self. That is also natural. So ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha, adhyaropat, adhyaropena. Now, then what happens? The innate sense of inadequacy. Now, actually the notion ahankaraha. What ahankaraha? I am small, that notion. So the erroneous self-perception results in adhyasa results in adhyaropaha, superimposition of the limitations of the non-self upon the self. Thereby what happens? I am repeating it just for you to get it. And the adhyaropa results in what? Ahankara. What ahankara? Wrong notion about oneself. What wrong notion? That one is a limited being. I am small in terms of so many things. I am small, I am inadequate, I am unhappy, I'm a mortal, ignorant, I am insignificant, all those notions. And so one, this ahankara, the erroneous notion one has about oneself, ahankara. So ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha, ahankaraha, then what happens? The notion really, there is a sense of inadequacy. Isn't it? I am inadequate also is the notion. That sense of inadequacy being hinted on. Inadequacy being centered on I, then that results in what? Needs. Constantly, there always need. Why? Because irrespective of what one accomplished, what one has accomplished, what one has not accomplished, always there is a sense of inadequacy because of the problem of this erroneous notion one has about oneself. Unless and until the notion gets corrected, this problem of sense of inadequacy cannot be free from the sense of inadequacy. The sense of being not, without being free from the sense of inadequacy, there will be constant, there is always inner pressure, needs are always there. And the needs result in what? Needs result in desire. All the needs, no? I want to be happy, no? Always, everywhere, with everybody, that fundamental desire for happiness also as a natural emotional urge, that's also there. And that desire, see, inadequacy results in needs, and needs result in what? The fundamental desire. And the desire really results in, gives rise to all forms of desires. That is why basically, according to Shastram, and the desire alone impels one to do karma. If you see, and karma produces phalam, phalam has to be exhausted. Not to exhaust the karma phalam, one has to be born again. This is how one gets caught up in samsara. isn't it? So basically, what is the cause for the, what is it really which causes the desire? That is why we always say it is impossible for one to give up desires, to undo desires. And even if one makes effort to give up desires, one will definitely fail in overcoming undoing desires. But one can intelligently manage the desires, knowing the value of dharma, etc. If he has a purushartha nischaya, one can manage one's desires, one cannot undo one's desires. In the wake of the knowledge of the self, one can free oneself from the hold of desires. That's the only way to first to manage desires with purushartha nischaya. By jnanam, later on one can free oneself from the hold of desires. That's the only way. There's no other way of undoing desires. So, āśāyāha na udbhavasya kāraṇam kim? What is the cause of the, what is it which really causes the desire? If you see, it will go ultimately to what? Ignorance. So ignorance cause what? The sense of inadequacy, and sense of centered on I is the basic root, basic cause for this desire. Understand now? That is why, and desires are there. And here, actually, even desire also simply cannot arise, no? So this verse says actually, already the problem be root, all desires are all there in a potential form. Where? In your mind. Potential form, desire always there potentially. Understand now? But for the desire to surface, the desire is already there, the seed for desire is already there. It is ready to sprout. Understand now? It is ready to surface. But it needs some triggering. What that? The cause for desire is already there in the form of ajnanam. But for the desire, the seed for desire happens to be there in the form of ajnanam, and the ignorance cause other problems. But for the desire to be triggered and to surface, you know, perception serves as means of triggering perception of objects. That is why a jnani, whatever objects are perceived, nothing shakes the mind of a jnani. So you can't say objects cause desires, you can't say, it's a wrong thing to say. Sense objects perceived, become instrumental in triggering the desire, understand now, to surface, that's all. For jnani's, in jnani's mind, desires cannot be triggered. No way, desires have been resolved, the seed for the desires has been, understand, resolved. There's the very seed is not there in jnani's mind. That is why no object can trigger the desire in the mind of a jnani. But for ajnani, ajnanam is there, adhyasa is there, adhyaropa is there, ahankara is there, inadequacy, sense of inadequacy is there, needs are there, the urge for happiness is, the urge to be happy always, everywhere, everybody is there, natural urge is there. Therefore, so many other desires are there in potential form. Understand how? So it can be easily triggered. So what happens on ajnani? We'll see that. Dhyayato, it's a nice introduction, I think. We had to remember, because this shloka might confuse people. You know what, how it will confuse? Oh, well, if you see things and you think of objects, and then the same comes. No, I wanted to make it very clear. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. Sangasteshu pajayate, sangasteshu pajayate, dhyayato vishayan pumsaha, vishayan pumsaha, sangasteshu pajayate, sangasteshu pajayate, sangat sanjayate kamah, sangat sanjayate kamah, sangat sanjayate kamah,
sangat sanjayate
kamaha kamat krodho bhijayate kamat krodho bhijayate kamat krodho bhijayate
kamat
krodho bhijayate krodhat bhavati sammohah krodhat bhavati sammohah krodhat bhavati sammohah krodhat bhavati sammohah sammohat smriti vibhramah sammohat smriti vibhramah sammohat smriti vibhramah sammohat smriti vibhramah smriti bhramshat buddhinashah
smriti bhramshat
buddhinashah smriti bhramshat buddhinashah smriti bhramshat buddhinashah buddhinashat pranashyati buddhinashat pranashyati smriti bhramshat buddhinashah smriti bhramshat buddhinashah buddhinashat pranashyati buddhinashat pranashyati so he says So for Ajnani only it is possible. It's not talking about Ajnani. So, Vishayan Dhyayataha Pumsaha Sangaha Teshu Upajayate Sangaha Jayate Kim Jayate What is born? Jayate is born. Or happens. Arises. What arises? What is born? Sangaha. Sangaha means association, attachment, jayate. See, association with an object. Attachment to an object, jayate. How can a liking, attachment to an object, arise, be born, if you do not think about the object? One has to think about a given object. Thinking about an object means what? It's called, that is what is called mathanam. Manasaha mathanam. Manasaha mathanam means what? Churning of the mind. Mathnati means churns. Mathnati means what? Churns. Verb. Mathanam means churning. So, thinking of an object is said to be churning of the mind. When you happen to see an object, Rodney G sees something new gadget. And he cannot sleep, you know that. And he will be thinking of that object. How better it is. How more time saving it is. Just call scheming, okay? You think of the advantages. How better this is than the old phone I had. Okay? And how time saving it is than the other one. And how many minutes more it gives. What is the durability of this object? And how fanciful it is. And how nice it is to have it. Like this, lots of things you plan. You think about it. This is called scheming, okay? Thinking. Oh. And you see, what are disadvantages? You think both pros and cons, okay? Advantages and disadvantages of having that, some object. Something happened to come across. And you see, many advantages are more. And you see the price. And then, is it possible to get it within, does it fit my budget? Then also think, and afterwards, and think, even if it is a little more expensive, doesn't matter, it's worth getting it, I should get it. Then you think of how to get the money for that. So where to go, how much to draw, how much to pay, when to pay. All these things is called planning to get thinking of an object. vishayan dhyayataha pumsaha. Understand now, you think about an object, not simply thinking. Thinking means the exclusion of everything else. You think only of the object. Something you come across, something you heard about, and something you know, then you think of that object. And when he goes and tells other person in Aylesbury, and that man also is same impression, he starts thinking how he never saw that before. And he gets the first hand information from one person, really reliable source. And then he starts thinking that this is how, when you come to know of an object first, or when you come stumble upon an object, when you perceive an object, then you start churning. The mind starts churning. Know what advantages, disadvantages, and the usefulness, and then how to get it. Now it's called scheming of the mind or planning of the mind. So now, then the mathanam. So vishayan dhyayat, called dhyanam. Vishayat dhyanam, meditating upon an object. Meditating upon an object means what? Thinking of only of an object to the exclusion of everything else. Understand now, is meditating upon the object. Meditating upon things, objects, we come to know. And that's called churning of the mind. And for such a person, vishayan dhyayataha pumsaha. If you see the object, even if you hear about it, even if you think for a while, but along so many other things come to your mind, then you just think about it, you heard about it, talk about it, forget about it also. But we don't meditate upon the object. Meditating means what? The exclusion of everything else. You think about it all the time, only think about it. Then naturally, vishayan dhyayataha pumsaha. Teshu vishayeshu sangaha sanjayate. Listen now. Then some sort of attachment towards that object. The mind remains associated with that object. What's attachment? Sangaha upajayate. What is sangaha? I need that. What is attachment? I need that object. Look at this. I need that object. Not that I want that object. I need that object. Possession of that object will make me happier, or without that object, you know, that means my happiness, my well-being, my welfare, my comfort is so much dependent on that object. That's called sangaha. Understand now? So, teshu sangaha upajayate. So, the vishayan dhyayataha pumsaha means what? Pums. Sakarada shabda say purushasya. Vishayan dhyayataha purushasya eva teshu vishayeshu sangaha sanjayate. Sangaha jayate. Attachment is born only for the person who meditates upon, means what? Who constantly thinks only of the object. Otherwise, vishayan adhyayataha purushasya sangaha na upajayate. Simply you see the object, or think about the object, oh, it's nice to have, but you forget about it. Suppose if I was thinking of, Vedika was told me about her trip, no, her going to cruise. I heard about, oh, nice to go, no, nice, must be very nice, I thought of about it, and then I left it there itself. Suppose if I was continuously, no, thinking about it, no, what is the food served, what all the place they'll be seeing, who will all be coming, what they'll be doing, how nice the cruise will be, and how comfortable the place will be, oh, wonderful it will be, all those things, no? Dhyayataha, oh, it would be nice for me to go. Vishayan dhyayataha purushasya eva teshu vishayeshu sangaha sanjayate. If you do not give your attention to the object, it is impossible for you to develop attachment to an object. I tell you, attachment to an object is possible only if you give your attention to the object. Giving one's attention to an object means what? Constantly thinking of the object. Constantly thinking means what? Thinking of all about the object. All all about means what? Advantages and how pleasurable it will be, how nice it will be, all those things. So, Vishayam Dhyayataha Pumsaha Purushasya Tesha Vishayeshu Sangaha Sanjayate. One's attachment is there. You know, Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. He already desire is there in your mind, potentially there. Desire is already in a dormant, latent condition in all the minds. Every ignorant mind has lots of desires. People may say, no, I don't have any desire. That's not true. When you have frustration, when you're highly frustrated, desires remain dormant. They don't surface. Understand? Really speaking, desires are not destroyed. Desires are not, in fact, desires are all there in all the ignorant mind. Yea, no ignorant mind is an exception. Understand? No, free from desires. If you see somebody, if you say this person has no desire at all, you know, desire is not there. He's disinterested, he's frustrated, he's upset, he's mentally sick. Understand now? That means what? The desires are very much there in a potential form. They are dormant. Understand? Don't think desires are not there. Desires are very much there. How can there be absence of desires in an ignorant mind? Desires are there. But desire for what is not clear? Desire for what is not clear, so desires are dormant, that's all. Desires are there. Desire for happiness is there. Desire for getting rid of unhappiness is there. This is very much there. But desire for what particular thing is not there. Understand? So external situations and conditions keep the desires always dormant. Desires are very much there, but they are dormant, potential form. And when this option, that's why people now, when you think, Vishayan Dhyayati, Dhyayate, Vishayanam Dhyanam Yaha Karoti, Tadayeva, Teshu Vishayeshu Sangaha, then Sangaha Upajayate. Okay, then a sort of attachment comes to that object. Oh, possessing that object will be nice. Possession of that object will make my life comfortable. That means the person becomes a dependent on that object for his happiness. Understand? Then, sangayate, sanjayate, kamaha. The need. The person feels that object is definitely needed for me. I need that object. That need, one discovers the need for the object only when thinks about the object. When the need for the object is felt, then what happens? Sangat kamaha sanjayate. Then all the desires readily waiting to surface triggers. Okay? The sangaha, the need for the object, which a person developed by constantly thinking about an object, okay, which is already there actually, that what triggered the desire is already readily there. That is how desire surfaces. Desire surfaces. Sangat kamaha sanjayate. Is it very clear? I think I made it very, very clear. You had to think about it very correctly. Understand? Sangat kamaha sanjayate. And what happens? Kamat. And this person starts, this person thinks of fulfilling that desire. And he fulfills that desire. Kamaha, desire arises. And he does something. Always desire will result in what? Whenever the desire arises, it will chase the person to act. Kamat kamena na karma karoti. You have to supply that. Desire makes one do the action. How one really does his best, tries his best, does all it is possible on his own part to fulfill the desire. Desire arises, until the desire gets fulfilled, one will make all efforts to do get the desire fulfilled. One works hard and somehow gets the desire fulfilled. But what happens? Fulfillment of that desire, does any desire, does not put an end to the rising of the desire, because the nature of the desire itself is such, always it gives rise to a new desire. No, asha anyayaha ashayaha bijam bhavati. One desire becomes a seed for another desire. Always. And that fulfillment of that desire will give rise to a new desire. Why? That is the nature of the desire. Okay, you have fulfilled this desire, and you, because till fulfillment of one desire or many desires will, why again and again and again and again and again desires do arise? Desires keep on arising. Why? Because a fulfillment of any number of desires does not free one from the sense of inadequacy centered on I. If you're really inadequate person, you can never become free from inadequacy. But there's only sense of inadequacy. Understand? Which is centered on I. The sense of inadequacy being there naturally centered on I. Understand now? The sense of inadequacy being due to self-ignorance and self-erroneous notion, ahankara. What is ahankara? It's not wrong to have ahankara. It's erroneous notion due to what? Due to ajnanam, isn't it? Erroneous wrong self-perception. That problem being elsewhere, fulfillment of any number of desires keeps one inadequate always. One continues to be inadequate along with the fulfillment of desires. Also, one continues to be inadequate. That is why the desire keeps on again anyan vishyan dhyayate, again anyeshu vishyeshu sangaha upajayate, again what? Again one thinks about something new. You hold on to new, because now got it fulfilled. Again for some time, okay. Again you stumble upon something new. Again you start thinking about it. Again you think of the pros and cons of the object. Again you develop an attachment to the object. Again a desire. You think that object is needed for you. Again you develop. Again what? It gives rise to desire. This is how desire keeps on arising. Understand? So, desires will be keep on arising. That is why elsewhere in Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dushpuraha Analaha. What is desire? Dushpuraha Analaha. Analaha means fire. Dushpuraha means what? Insatiable fire. You know that way, the fire, the word fire has many meanings. And that particular place, Krishna used the word analaha. Why can't Agni, why can't he mention the fire as Agnihi or any other name? Agnihi, Jataveda, so many names are there. But there particularly, he uses the word analaha. Fire is called analaha when it is likened to desire. The desire is likened to the fire. Because alam means enough. Alam means what? Enough. When somebody serves you food, you will definitely set one point enough. Alam. Alam means enough. Na alam yasya saha analaha. One who never says enough is analaha. Fire never says enough. Any amount of fuel you offer, fire will consume everything and put his tongue out asking for more fuel. Any amount of it starts burning and it will go and spread like anything. That is why trade, na, any buildings, any big things, it can just catches and keeps just going everywhere. Fire goes and burns everything. That means what? And here it will burn everything. Isn't it? This one is called analaha. Na alam yasya saha analaha. That is why the fire can never say enough. No? In terms of full, no, consumption of fuel. That is why the desire is likened to a fire. Dushpuraha means what? Insatiable. That means desire also is like a fire. Desire will never say, okay, you have fulfilled this desire, enough. No. Always desire will give rise to another new desire. That is the nature of the desire. Why? Because the root cause of the desire is what? Inadequacy, sense of inadequacy set down. I caused by erroneous self-perception due to self-ignorance. Understand now? That is why it's like in Puranas, desire is said to be Rakta Bija, the demon. Rakta Bijaha. One drop falls from the body of the demon, and from one drop, a new demon will rise. Rakta Bijaha. Rakta Bijaha means the drop of the blood falling from the Rakta Bija will give rise to another new demon. One drop of blood itself will cause one more demon. Means, imagine the amount of all the blood. It can never be destroyed. Desire is something which you can never destroy. That is why demon, rakshasaha. Who is rakshasa? Who is a demon here? Understand? One who you cannot undo. One who is constantly sitting with you all the time, troubling you, causing unhappiness. Understand now? Responsible, not allowing it to be at ease, is what? Demon. Who is this demon? Can you ever destroy? Let me undo this person who's troubling me. Let me undo that fellow. You can't do that. That's why demon, rakshasa. Understand now? The demon. Why? You have no say over it? Because very strong rooted. Ajnanam. Understand now? Adhyasaha. And then ahankara, wrong notion. Sense of inadequacy. And an I results in what? The desire. Understand now? That is why dushpuraha nalaha in his desire. And this desire is there. Always desire fulfilled will result in other desire. Suppose if you worked hard to fulfill any of your desires, and the desire does not get fulfilled. Not suppose. Many a time it happens. Many things we work hard and the desires don't get fulfilled. There's a failure of a work, hard work, isn't it? Then, when things do not go to your expectation, as you expect them to be, or when the desires do not get fulfilled, then unfulfilled desire alone definitely will be converted into another state of mind called anger. Kamat krodhaha. Natu kamat. Natu kamena. Not by desire anger is born. The unfulfilled desire. Understand now? Unfulfilled desire alone. What? Apuritaha. Na? Kamaha eva. What happens now? What happens? Results in anger. Is anger very desirable? Anger also is not desirable state of mind. Anger also is pain. Anger also is discomfort. Anger is pain, anger is discomfort. No, discomfort caused in the mind. Anger is discomfort. So anger is caused by what? Anger is caused by definitely unfulfilled desire. There are many reasons for anger to arise. But anger also is already there, which is triggered. Unfulfilled desire triggers the anger. Understand now? Don't think everything, something comes out of you suddenly. No. Already everything is there. That is why we say, what is that? Ajnana Bija. Understand? Ajnana Bijasya. So we call it cancer. Understand now? Why do we call them cancer? Because which is already, it is there in an potential, an unknown form. No biopsy is possible until it comes out. Where is it? Does it come from outside or what? It's already then a potential form. But it takes some time. That's why anger always what? Already there. Where is desire? Already there. Whatever is already there only surfaces. But you, for that to surface, what do you need? Something to trigger. Understand now? So now what becomes this anger actually? Unfulfilled desire results in frustration. It's a modified form of unfulfilled desire is what? Anger. So kamat krodha. So what does the desire do? Fulfilled desire results in new desire. Unfulfilled desire results in anger. Kamat krodha abhijayate. See, abhijayate, sanjayate, upajayate, jayate, with all prefixes mean the same. Verb means the same. Then krodhat bhavati sammohaha. See, mohaha itself means delusion. What is delusion? Muhudatuhu, muhyati, is deluded. Mohaha, delusion. What is delusion? Lack of discriminative knowledge. Lack of discriminative knowledge of what is real, what is not real, what is satyam, what is mithya, what is permanent, what is impermanent, that is different. Lack of discriminative knowledge means we do not have discriminative knowledge regarding anything connected to the given context. We lack. So sammohaha means what? Some prefix emphasizes. One is totally deluded, completely deluded. It's complete delusion on the part of the one who's given to what? The anger. Who gets angry. And just now, krodhat sammohaha. Because whenever you get angry, when there is anger, you cannot think. That's why when you are angry, there cannot be an action which is thoughtfully done. Anger always prevents the thoughtful, prudent action. In anger, you do things. You do things, but not consciously. Unconsciously, mechanically, you do. Is unconscious, mechanical, thoughtless anger, thoughtless action, which is an expression of the anger. No? Understand? No? Thoughtless action is called a reaction. Understand? No? It's called reaction, not action. Reaction means a thoughtless action. No? You have not put your thoughts, really, before you do, you have not thought of it. Not thinking of the consequences. What will be the consequences? What damage it will cause? How it's going to destroy? How it is going to be destructive or damaging? Understand now? and how it is frustrating, how it's going to affect, who will all be affected, what will be the worst consequences, bad consequences of the expression of anger, that you don't think. That's why the reaction always, what is reaction always results in destruction, destructive, damaging, no? Consequence actually. So here we say, this kamat krodha sanjayate. Krodha. That's why when you're angry, you can't say, I was very angry, I thoughtfully, very carefully I did this. You can never say that. That is why when you get angry, at least you know of this fact, it's very natural for one to get angry. And not, that's why Bhagavad Gita does not teach, don't get angry, give up anger. It does not say, ask you to give up anger. Does not tell you to to undo anger. Because Gita knows, no? Because Gita is Shastram, it cannot blabber and prattle. It tells you, no, why anger is. At least if you understand why anger is, then you will be very careful. Whenever you tend to get angry, you will be conscious of your being angry, and at least you will avoid doing something. You leave the place and go and drink water, sit quietly somewhere, do some japam. At least you can manage. Bhagavad Gita helps you how you can manage the anger if you know what is which causes the anger. You know that? And how can it be free from the hold of anger? That is only in jnanam. So in fact, anger also is said to be expression of one's inadequacy. One's own inadequacy alone, in other person's behavior, other person's actions, other person's accomplishments or achievements, other person's presence sometimes, other person's presence or actions or behavior or achievements or accomplishments can trigger your smallness. Understand now? It's your smallness. And whenever your smallness is triggered also, the sense of inadequacy also is triggered, immediately you will get angry. Understand now? Not the other person, simply you are angry. You don't know. This is suddenly some people go back in India, men go back and shout at the wives because they cannot go out divorcing. Sometimes, not always. Women also do the same thing with children. They have lots, they may be highly affectionate and very caring and fondly affectionate people, very loving people. Once in a while it happens uncontrollably. It happens. It may happen even here, anywhere in the world, with anybody. But the closest people, nearest people who you have association, who you can talk to every day or often, and they become the victims of your problems sometimes. Because unknown person, stranger, you can't go and shout it or get angry, show your anger. No? They'll slap you back and then go away. They have nothing to do with you. People whom you often, your acquaintances, maybe office people or friends or associates, they become victims. That's why frictions are always only between people who are known to each other, not between people who are unknown. Why should an unknown person, why should you have a friction with people who are not known to you? There's no reason. Always a stranger is always the best friend, you know the way. Because I don't know who the person is. Frictions and always commotions and worries and the hurt and guilt and cosmic commissions and omissions, all these are only with people known to us, people who are acquainted to, our contacts, associated to us, some way or the other, whether family members or outsiders or friends or relatives or who work together, somewhere where we associate with them, through some means we are connected, it's all possible. That is why, so kamat krodha abhijayate, and krodhat, when you are angry, krodhat sammohaha, krodhat bhavati sammohaha. So then whenever you are angry, you are completely deluded, means you cannot see, when you are angry, you cannot see whether the other person is right or wrong, whether the person is, no, has done it or not, other person really deserves this or not, other person, no, might not have done or not. We do not know anything. We immediately jump, our conclusions, when you are angry, our conclusions are very fast and quick, no, unthoughtful, really, conclusions. If we thoughtlessly we act, thoughtless action is reaction. Isn't it? So, why? Because there is no krodhat, yada krodha, tada manasi sammohaha. Understand now? Tada, there is no vichara is not possible. Thinking is not possible. To think and do things carefully, thoughtfully, there is no space. You see, krodhat sammohaha. Sammohat. Understand now? Sammohaha. When there is anger, you just completely deluded. Because anger completely clouds your mind. You cannot see who is right, who is wrong, what is right and what is wrong. That given context, whatever angry, whoever you are angry with, whatever you are angry about, there you cannot see things. That's why sammohaha. Then when you are totally confused and deluded, that time sammohat smriti bhramshaha. You know, smriti bhramshaha means, see, we all of us are blessed with the smritihi. Smarana shaktihi, not marana shakti, smarana shaktihi. Smaranam means what? Remembering, remembrance, a memory. Smritihi is a memory, isn't it? Smritihi is a feminine gender, smaranam is a neuter gender word. Smaranam, remembering, remembrance, memory, smritihi. And the vibhramshaha, bhramshaha, vibhramshaha means what? In fact, forgetfulness. You know, people who get frustrated, who get angry often, either because of unfulfilled desires or because of lots of facing failures in life, no, then naturally what happens? Smriti bhramshaha. People, whoever has go through lots of pains and suffering, also develop this forgetfulness. You see who has this. People are always so restless and agitated. People, angry people always will be, who get angry often. Such people, angry it's an expression of inadequacy, sense of inadequacy. Everything around you triggers your smallness, triggers your incapacity, helplessness. I tell you, whenever you feel helpless, your helplessness, if you do not know that you have to pray, the person who does not know, pray to Bhagavan whenever the person is helpless, and that person will be most, I tell you, angriest person, most angry person. Most angry person. If the one does not know how to pray, and the more one feels helpless, the more one feels incapable, the more one feels one's smallness and inadequacy is triggered, the more one will be angry. Such angry people, definitely will be always confused. They jump to wrong conclusions and all that. Always. Very highly confused people, deluded people. And such delusion in the long run will, long run, not immediately, overnight, okay, but long run, will result in what? Smriti bhramshaha, forgetfulness. And some people, they get senile when they get 80, 90, they go walk, just go, they do not even know where they are going. And such things may happen even when they are 60, 40 also. They are very angry and all that. Nisanasmuti Brahmshaha. Forgetfulness. We forget things often. Whether I close the door or not, I lock the door or not, whether I brought the phone or not. Small things we forget. It's because of absence of alertness. See, one's alertness, anger always blunts, makes the mind, intellect blunt. Now sharpness will be made blunt, in fact. Instead of making the intellect sharp, now sharp means what? Being able to be alert and remember everything. And instead would develop what? Forgetfulness. That is why, dulls the mind. There is no Medha Shakti. Medha Devi cannot bless such a person. Dull, forgetting. So, Smriti Brahmshaha, that is why better to pray. It is natural for one to have all these problems. That's why one has to pray also. Very important to pray. Because natural for us to have all the problems, because ajnanam is natural. Until we get rid of this problem of ignorance, to manage all these problems caused by, we cannot undo the problems caused by ignorance as long as, understand, until we get rid of ignorance. But until we get rid of ignorance, we should be able to manage the problems caused by ignorance, for which we need to be prayerful and worshipful. Understand, you have to use your willpower, try to live a life of dharma also. That is the only way we can manage these things. Otherwise, smriti brahmshat, one should develop forgetfulness. It can go to what extent? Forgetfulness can go to what extent? You know that? The worst thing? Smriti brahmshat buddhi nashaha. The more you develop forgetfulness, the more you are affected by the problem of getting this problem of smallness, being triggered and all that. Smriti brahmshat buddhi nashaha. I'd help you to take it out. Smriti brahmshat buddhi nashaha. One loses even the thinking capacity, one will lose. One cannot even think properly. The more you develop forgetfulness, it's very important to be. I tell you, whenever you suppose you think, I've become forgetful, it's not because of the old age also it comes, that's a different thing. That is because lots of problems, because that's why the mind is, the mind which gets really agitated, that's why the mind also should be taken care of. Good sleep is important. Very, very important for everyone to have good sleep. That also results in what? Forgetfulness. Because enough rest is not there for the mind. There also, these problems cannot be managed. See, only solution. How can I, all these problems, my emotional problems, the problems of the mind, why we call it a problem? Because they cause discomfort. Disease. Isn't it? See, the person who is totally mad, that is a different thing, gone. Lost his mind. Understand now? Pranashaha, that is. The one who is mad, who is the mad? Who has lost even the knowledge that I am. Who is like an animal. The mad person is like an animal. You know, like an animal means what? He does not even know. See, until we all do not know, we are in deep sleep state. Even waking state, the other person does not know I am. You know that? The mad person does not know, does not have this knowledge that I am. Therefore, that's why whatever thoughts come, and then as the thoughts push the person to do, the person's actions are completely governed by the person's mind. With the conscious, the person is not conscious of what he is doing, because he is not conscious, he is. He is not conscious of himself. And how can he be conscious of what he is doing? That is what is mad behavior, isn't it? That is napranasha, total loss. Death is not a total loss. You know that? Losing one's buddhi shakti jnanam is what? Pranasha. Death is for everybody, death is common. Bhagavan has blessed us with the precious knowledge, half knowledge, which you have to suppose to make it complete. Then life is a meaningful, successful life, absolutely successful. Irrespective of how you lived the whole life, till 70th year, 80th year, I've been a sinner, I've been doing all those things, doesn't matter. I'm not saying you can do. Even then, if you discover half of other knowledge and make it complete, still this life is a meaningful, successful, accomplished life. Otherwise, whether you know, if make the knowledge full, total or not, at least if you don't lose half knowledge you are blessed with. Understand? There's possibility of losing the partial knowledge you are blessed with. That is what is becoming mad. Understand now? That is the worst thing should not happen to a human being. Physical illness is nothing. Pranashaha. Buddhinashat pranashyati. Is madness. That is why, how can we manage these states of mind? Desire, anger, and then anger, help. You see, we are helpless. We are not creating the anger. We are creating the desire. That is why the anger results in what? Smriti bhramshaha. Smriti bhramshaha results in what? Buddhi nashaha. My God, all these are problems. So only in jnanam, you do not need to drive them away. They will resolve by themselves in jnanam. Jnane sarvam parisamapyate. In jnanam, all this will resolve by themselves. But until jnanam, what are you going to do? Are you going to allow them to manage you, or are you going to manage them? If they are managing you, if you are going to be enslaved by them, it will result in pranashaha. If you can manage them, understand now? Until jnanam takes place, you have to manage them. After jnanam, do I need to manage them? No. Why? They will not be there to be managed. You don't need to manage after jnanam. Why? Somebody must be there, no. You must be there to manage, and they must be there to be managed. Ahankara would have been resolved. Then all these things would have been resolved in fullness. Understand? So don't need to do anything. In jnanam they will resolve by themselves. But until jnanam takes place, be careful, you don't be their slaves. See that they are your slaves. That means what? You manage them prudently, intelligently. How can you manage them? Purushartha nischayaha. Know the value of knowledge. Be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. And know the value of dharma. Commit yourself to live a life of dharma and be prayerful and worshipful. Always seek Bhagavan's grace as a karma phalam of act of praying. Grace will definitely help you to manage. Your commitment to dharma, your knowledge of value of dharma, your commitment to live a life of dharma, understand, will help bless you with the sharp intellect, sharpness of mind, adequate alertness to be able to manage them. Living a life of dharma, Okay, prayerfully, worshipfully living a life of dharma alone will help you, bless you with enough strength and clarity to be able to manage, not to undo. Understand now? Manage them. How comfortably, effortlessly, easily, without any strain, you can manage them. And when if you are able to manage them, then it will result in what? It will help you, sharpen your intellect, thereby it will bless you with the knowledge and vision of the reality, wherein you will discover fullness, you can resolve them thereafter. Understand now? In fullness, you can resolve them. You don't need to rue anything. They will resolve by themselves. And we are talking about a jnani. Who is a jnani? Jnani is the one who manages them intelligently, prayerfully, worshipfully, with a commitment to dharma. There in jnanam, having discovered fullness, has completely free from, who's got them all resolved in jnanam, fullness, who's completely free from the hold of all these things. What all the things? Kamaha, krodaha, smriti bhramshaha, adasana buddhinashaha, pranashaha. Why? That is why we saw earlier verses. These vishayan, jnani vishayan pashyati. Vishayan pashyati, shrunoti, jigrati, nasan spruśyati. Adasana, jnani perceives the objects. Jnani's mind also comes in contact with the sense objects through senses. But what happens? Vishayaha vinivartante nirahārasya dehinaha. We saw earlier. Objects do not enter into the mind. Do not even enter. And how can he start thinking about the objects? The objects should be entering means what? Objects should get registered first. Only then jnani can think about the object. Why jnani doesn't need, why they do not even enter? Because there's fullness. The person is not dependent on anything external for the fullness. Objects, understand now, objects do not means, he may see, he may enjoy them, but enjoyment or non-enjoyment, possession or non-possession, he is not dependent on objects for his happiness, for possession, okay, on possession or non-possession of the objects, or enjoyment or non-enjoyment of objects. Therefore, he is not affected. That is why know the self, discover fullness as the very surupma of the self, which is the truth of the whole jagat, which pervades everything. And in that, when your identity is resolved, that is very important. In discovering the self, in discovering fullness, your identity being resolved in, understand, reality. Identity, when you identify, identity is with reality, not with the limited body mind complex, then definitely the sense of inadequacy is supreme, centered on I is resolved means, I tell you, without being driven away, chased away, you can never chase them away. All this, will resolve themselves. That is the beauty of the lesson. Why we are talking about this particular thing in the middle of Anna? We're talking about a jnani. Why do we talk about it? Why should we talk about this? What is, how desire comes? How desire is born? How the desire, unfulfilled desire, results in anger? What happens as a result of anger? Now how forgetfulness results in buddhinashaha, etc. Buddhinasha pranashyati. Again, how many janmas will it take for one to have that jnanam again? You have to be born a human being again to have the knowledge that I am, self-consciousness. Losing one's self-consciousness is madness. understand now? That's why too much of worry, too much of depression, too much of... In fact, this is not depression, dejection, different degrees of depression. One level is what? Highest degree of depression is what? Mental disorder, isn't it? Dejection, frustration, all these things is very natural for one to have. Very natural. And all, if you analyze all these things, that will result in what? When you completely unmanageable, it becomes completely unmanageable. Unmanageable condition. What happens? Buddhinashaha. You can't, because it's very natural. Self problems. Buddhinashat pranashyati. That is why this part of this teaching, always prayer is emphasized a lot. Prayer and worship are very, very important. And commitment to dharma is very, very important. Very, very, very in the context of purushartha, one has to know the value of dharma. And one has to really seek Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of dharma. That's why the prayer gives such so much of strength. Means what? Actual absolute strength is only knowledge is absolute strength. But till then you need to manage. See, this is what we have to understand. We cannot undo. You cannot undo, but you had to manage. Look at it, we have to manage. How am I going to manage? To manage, you need some strength. For that, if you are not able to manage, you are weak. If you are strong, you can manage. If you are weak, you cannot manage. But how are you going to manage them? Absolute strength is knowledge. Understand? But you need to be adequately, relatively strong. You need some relative strength to be able to manage. And relative strength, relative emotion strength, required to be able to manage them, thereby to discover the absolute strength, you need to live, commit yourself to live a life of dharma, prayerfully, worshipfully. It's very important. Very, very important. And that is why Purushartha Nischaya also is very, very important. Imagine, leave alone accomplishing jnanam and moksha and all the people, all those things. I'm not talking about even, people may not be interested in accomplishing moksha or life after death and all, we are not interested. We are talking about the present life. How are you going to live this life intelligently? The more you can manage these things, you are successful, I tell you. Not the one who really has accomplished a lot of things. Not the one who has really achieved a lot of things. See, any Tom, Dick, Harry can achieve anything. One has a lot of pura punyam. Doesn't matter how much punyam you earned in your past life. Understand? That is Bhagavan's grace alone, again. You can achieve so many things in this life if you have past punyam. It's like the person who has a lot of money, bank balance, can go on spending. It's like, but how you live this life? You must have done a lot of gain, a lot of punyam. So you, somehow Obama gets some peace award. What award he gets?
Nobel Peace.
Nobel Peace Award. Do you think this present life, in 40 years time, what has he done? So past punyam. 100%. Understand? But how are you going to live this life? This present life? So the more, irrespective of what you are accomplishing, what you have accomplished, what you have not accomplished, still your life is successful life, meaningful life, if you are managing kama krodha dayaha prudently. For which you need to be relatively strong. That relative strength is possible only if you commit yourself to live a life of dharma, prayerfully and worshipfully. For which it is very important to know, to have purushartha nischaya, to know the value of knowledge, and thereby to know the value of values. That is why very Vedanta turns, makes his life, not people think, oh, Vedanta is all. It's all about. We are not interested in talking about life after death. We are not talking about even moksha. How are you how are you keeping yourself in good humor, in the real sense? Being able to manage these states of mind is what? Isn't it? Very important. That is why in this, in the context of, you know, jnanis, lakshan, in the different jnani, talking about the jnani, and these two verses are presented in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter. We'll read it again.
Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. Sangasteshu pajayate. Sangasteshu pajayate. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Kamat krodho bhijayate. Kamat krodho bhijayate. Krodhat bhavati sammohaha. Krodhat bhavati sammohaha. Sammohat smriti vibhramaha.
Sammohat
smriti vibhramaha. Smriti bhramshat buddhinashaha. Smriti bhramshat buddhinashaha. Buddhinashat pranashyati. Buddhinashat pranashyati. Ragadveshaviyuktaisto. 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 Vishayanindriyaischaran. 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 Nindriyaischaran. Atma vashyair vidheyatma. Atma vashyair vidheyatma. Atma vashyair vidheyatma. Atma vashyair vidheyatma. Sashanti. Prasadamadhigachati. Prasadamadhigachati. Okay. Ragadveshaviyuktaisto. Ragadveshaviyuktaisto. Vishayanindriyaischaran. Vishayanindriyaischaran. Atma vashyair vidheyatma. Atma vashyair vidheyatma. Atma vashyair vidheyatma.
Atma vashyair vidheyatma.
Prasadamadhigachati. Prasadamadhigachati.
Okay, having discussed about now other states of mind, unmanaged, what will happen? Unmanaged anger and desire will result in what? Pranashaha. What is total destruction here? There is no destruction other than losing self-consciousness. That is what pranasha. But suppose if you manage in jnana, they will go. You don't need to drive them away. They will resolve. They'll disappear. They'll resolve. But until jnanam takes place, you have to manage. If you manage, what will happen? For the one who manages them, what happens? Saha prasadam adhigachati. Prasadam adhigachati. Prasadaha here means not our prasada,
Prasadaha, when I, as a child in India, Prasadaha means within, in this December now coming, we think only of our sweet good rice Adiji and also some boiled channa. Our lime rice and then yogurt rice, that's the prasad in the temples. And then vibhuti, kumkum, chandan, tulsi, bilwa, tirtha prasadam, that's a prasadam. As a child, that's what I knew as a prasadam. What we get food, you know, from anything what we get from the temple, the flower, whatever we get from sanctum is a prasadam for us. From Bhagavan is prasadam. That's the attitude we develop from childhood. Prasadaha. But here prasadaha is also what? Calm, quiet, serene. A mind which is relatively serene is also what? Steady, calm mind. Understand? Prasadam adhigachati. Who attains, who has this calm? That's also prasadaha, isn't it? Bhagavan's grace only blesses one with what? Really calm, serene mind. Prasadam adhigachati. Who gains? He says, Vidheyatma. Who is the one? He says here, Atmavashyehi, one who has all the senses under his control. Vashyehi. One who has mastery over his senses. Thereby, he has mastery over the senses. He allows the senses. Master mind also allows the mind to perceive objects, allows the thoughts, senses to be with the sense objects. So, Vishayan Indriyaihi Charan. He does perceive objects through senses. He allows the senses to be with sense objects, but has complete mastery over them. Atmavashyehi indriyehi vishayan charan. Paravashyehi indriyehi vishayan charan. Not the unmanaged, uncontrolled senses are with sense objects. For this person's mastery over his mind and senses, and he, the person having his senses and his control with the sense objects. Atmavashyehi indriyaihi vishayan charan. Atmavashyehi indriyaihi vishayan charan means what? Having the senses, perceiving sense objects, having, of which he has complete mastery. Having mastery over senses and having the sense, mastered senses, having mastery of the senses and having such senses, perceiving the objects through that senses or which he has mastery, which are under his control. Atmavashyehi indriyaihi vishayan charan. And when he, then what has? Raga dvesha vijuktaihi. Being free from what? Not only he has completely, he has mastery over senses. The one who has mastery over his senses are also allowed to be with sense objects. But how is it possible for him to have mastery? Because he is in his mind also ragadvesha vyuktaihi. They are free from ragadveshas. Ragadvesha natu ragadvesha yuktaihi. But ragadvesha viyuktaihi. Viyukta means what? Devoid of. Yukta means with. Viyukta means without. Without. Understand now. Yuktam, viyuktam. Samyuktam, yuktam, viyuktam. Ragadvesha viyuktaihi. Atmavashyehi. Indriyaihi. Vishayan charan. Vidheyatma prasadam adhigachati. Vidheyatma, the one who has mastery over his mind and senses becomes calm and serene. How? because he perceives objects with senses which are free from ragadveshas, which are free from what? Which are free from the hold of ragadveshas, and also which, isn't it, he has mastery over. How? Because who is the one who has ragadvesha yukta means what? How is it possible for one to be free from ragadveshas? He is not, nobody is totally free from the hold of ragadveshas. We just now we saw only jnani's mind is completely free from the hold of likes and dislikes. Because his identity is with the reality, not with anatma but with atma. Therefore he revels in fullness. We are completely free from likes and dislikes. Ragadvesha viyuktaha. Viyuktaha viyuktani indriyani. Therefore, if in the mind if you have ragadveshas, likes and dislikes, and having likes and dislikes, the senses go to the sense objects, then naturally it is possible for one to develop sangaha, kamaha, smriti brahmsha, and all things are possible. Smriti brahmshaha, sammohaha, buddhinashaha, all these are possible if there are what? Raga and dvesha, the mind. But here this person is free from raga dveshas. Raga dvesha viyukta. The one whose mind is free from raga dveshas. The jnani is completely free from the hold of raga dveshas. But an ajnani, a karma yogi, a sannyasi who is said to become a jnani is also what? He is able to manage his raga dveshas. Jnani is free from the hold of raga dveshas, likes and dislikes, desires in the form of likes and dislikes. An ajnani who has purushartha nischaya, who is either a karma yogi or a sannyasi, who are given to the pursuit of knowledge, because purushartha nischaya, that person is the one who is managing his ragadveshas. The one who is managing ragadveshas means what? One who knows the limitations of sense objects. What the sense objects can do, what they cannot do, and what he ultimately seeks is happiness. That happiness is only in jnanam, as the very surupma of the atma, no pursuit of object, no achievement of object, possession of object, no accomplishment will make him really happy, because the actual happiness is the surupma of the atma. That he needs to know that one who knows this very clearly, then even if the desires arise, and he will use his buddhi shakti, he will use his free will, because he knows the value of dharma, thereby he will choose to do the wrong, avoid the wrong. He will definitely, consciously, he will avoid the wrong. He will choose to do only the right. Such a conscious, alert person is the one who manages his ragadveshas very intelligently, very carefully. Understand now? Such a person also is what? Such a person senses also, you can say, ragadvesha viyuktani indriyani. Such a person's senses are said to be the one whose mind can manage the ragadveshas, or one whose mind is free from the hold of ragadveshas, is said to have the senses which are free from or unaffected by, understand now, ragadveshas, free from ragadveshas. The senses do not have any ragadvesha, please understand very carefully. Eye does not have any liking or disliking for an object it sees. Eye only reports what it sees. Ear also only reports what it hears. Understand? Nose also reports what it smells. Tongue also reports what it tastes. Skin reports what it feels. On the report sent by this, different reports sent by these different senses, what? Cause agitation in the mind. There come what? Either like or dislike. Oh, I want it. I don't like it. I hate it. I like it. All these likes or dislikes for the objects arise only in the form of thoughts in the mind. Therefore, really speaking, senses do not have any likes or dislikes. The mind alone has likes and dislikes. Likes and dislikes are not on the part of senses, but likes and dislikes are on the part of the mind, their thoughts, their twofold desires. So the person who has mastery over likes and dislikes is the one who can manage, who is capable of managing his likes and dislikes, is the one who is committed to dharma. That's all. One was purusharthanishtha, one knows the limitations of, one knows the value of knowledge, one who knows the limitations of other pursuits, other objects. Such a person's senses are said to be the senses which are free from ragadveshas. The person with the mind which is free from ragadveshas. Which is free, not totally free from ragadveshas. Jnani's mind is totally free from ragadveshas. But the person, a karma yogi or a sannyasi, who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, is the one who is coming to dharma, is capable, understand now, who can manage his ragadveshas. Understand now, is also what? Said to be, his senses are said to be free from ragadveshas. Ragadvesha viyuktaihi, then atmavashaihi, indriyaihi, vishayanacharan, videyatma prasadam adhigichati. Who attains prasada? Who becomes calm? Understand now, prasadam kaha adhigichati. Who has the conducive disposition of the mind required for jnanam is what? Prasadaha. Understand now? Prasadam, prasanna manaha. The disposition of the mind is conducive or appropriate for the rising of the jnanam. Calm, serene, steady, unperturbed, minded. Who is that? One who perceives. Simple meaning is this. One who comes across objects, perceives all the objects, allows the senses to be the sense objects, but still one who has mastery over his senses. How? By having mastery over his mind. The one who has mastery over his mind is shantaha, one who has shamaha. Thereby he is able to have mastery over his senses, raddamaha. That means what? Shamaha, damaha he has. That means he, one who knows, it is possible for one to have mastery over the mind, one who can manage his likes and dislikes. How? By being committed to dharma. How he can come to dharma? By knowing the value of dharma. How does he know the value of dharma? By knowing the value of knowledge. By knowing the importance of becoming mentally pure and steady. How does he know the importance of becoming mentally pure and steady? By knowing the value of knowledge. By being committed to the pursuit of knowledge. How does he know the value of knowledge? By having purushartha nischaya. A moksha is my choiceless end. It is very important for one to have purushartha nischaya. That is why shastram, we look up to shastram. One should know through all that what I want is fullness and happiness. I want that. I'm not interested in this time-bound pleasures. I'm really choicelessly, helplessly, understand now, what I want is the limitlessness and fullness. And that is something not to be attained, to be discovered, for which I need to discover the very self. And for that, jnanam needs pure and steady mind. That pure and steady mind is possible only if I live a life of dharma. So once I committed to live with Dharma, then I very well, I always refrain from the wrong. I do it deliberately, even if I don't like it, if it is right. That is what is, okay? Once all one's actions going by one's knowledge of right and wrong, not by one's own likes and dislikes. Understand? So doing actions as per the knowledge of one's right and wrong is what actually managing is the best way, is actually the managing one's likes and dislikes. One's, the person's actions do not go by his likes and dislikes, but they go by his knowledge of right and wrong. That person is the one who has can manage his lagadveshas, likes and dislikes. That person is the one who has who's managing his likes and dislikes. And such a person, okay, is the one who also knows the limitations of all arthakama pursuits, all the external sensory objects, sensory pleasures, all arthas, all kamas, all the sense objects. And he knows the value of knowledge. The knowledge, okay, this is what knowing the value of the knowledge will help one to know the limitations of the other objects. Knowing the limitations of other objects will help one what? Manage his likes and dislikes. Two things help one to manage one's likes and dislikes. What are the two things? Knowledge of the value of knowledge. Understand? And knowledge of the limitations of other objects. These two things together, this knowledge will help one to manage one's likes and dislikes. Second thing, purusharthan is cheha, okay, and then one commitment to dharma. Commitment to dharma means what? Always being committed to do one's actions according to his knowledge of right and wrong. All second thing will help one have mastery over his thoughts, in sense, mastery over this likes and dislikes. This is the only way one can manage one's ragadveshas. It's very important to manage one's ragadveshas. So managing one's ragadveshas is equal to managing one's likes and dislikes, implies managing one's desires. Managing one's desires is equal to managing one's own mind. Managing one's own mind means self-management. I told you the last class also. They're very important. Such a person is the one, understand, prasadam adhigachati. This is the actual meaning. Prasadam kaha adhigachati. The one who intelligently, prudently manages one's ragadveshas alone, prasadam adhigachati. Katham atmavashyehi ragadvesha vayuktaihi indriyaihi vishayan charan purushaha prasadam adhigachati. He goes everywhere, he sees everything, he enjoys everything, he talks everything he is with, but his senses are completely under the control of the mind which is managing ragadveshas, is committed to dharma. Kidrushehi indriyehi charan. If atma vashehi indriyehi charan. Kidrushehi atma vashehi indriyehi charan. Ragadvesha yuktaihi atma vashehi indriyehi charan. Ishyanin charan. Prasadam adhigachati. prasade kim bhavati sarva dukkhanam hanihi prasade sarva dukkhanam dukkhanam hanihi bhavati. We'll see that next class. Prasade, such a calm and quiet mind, jnanam is possible. Sarva dukkhanam hanihi, there'll be elimination of all sorrow. Now, in the context of jnanam, jnana is lakshanam, we are understanding so many things. This is why people will ask, why study? Why study? Because lots of things have to be understood. Given context, one particular point has to be highlighted and discussed about it. Then clarity.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva.